Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
And then, like, I got enough, like, positive feedback that I was like, you know what, I'm just going to try to, like record this and see, you know, how it goes and see if I can make tapes. And I tried to do everything myself just to see how, like, if I could do it. And,
yeah.
And it went very well. So, like I basically tried to take that same energy and do it to something that was a little bit more serious and, like, Sampatli, like, was basically, like, that project. And, like, I wanted to take it a little bit more serious, but at the same time, I got rent to pay. I got all kinds of, well, what if I try this to record it myself? And, you know, and that's what I did. So I was like, dude, I can get this music out and, you know, on my own dime that I don't have. So I was like, I'll just record everything myself. And that's what I did. And I mean, it doesn't sound the best, but I mean, you get the gist of it, you get the idea. And then, like, hopefully somewhere down the line, I can actually record it and you know, get an actual record done and you know, do whatever I got to do with that. And,
well, it seems like it was a side project solo thing, and then you got asked to play a show with Crowbar. I'm assuming the show is probably not going to happen though, right now, or did it get canceled?
No, because it was supposed to be last Tuesday, and it got canceled because Crowbar basically they were touring out to LA to meet up with Sepultura and Sacred Reich. So they were going to play that show and then start the tour the next day with Sepultura. A couple of their shows on the way to California got canceled, and then the Sepultura gig got canceled. So then that they're just like, okay, we're not gonna do anything. And
everything's canceled. The world is canceled right now.
Which, you know what? For someone that's already like anxious, like, it's not that big of a deal for me because I'm like my normal anyway. So. Like, whatever.
So social isolation is normal for you?
I wouldn't say complete isolation, but definitely social. Like, I just hang out with my fiance at the house with our dog, and we just chill. I'll go to my family sometime. So I'm definitely like, I mean, I do have some social life, but it's not that much these days. Cause I just try to kind of keep to myself to save money. And I know, like, when I'm around people, like, is when I become generous and want to just spend money to have a good time.
Yeah. You can't be
I can't really do that. I can't be around people because they
then you'll buy them. Yeah,
exactly.
Man.
Exactly. Dude. So I'm just trying to, nowadays I'm just trying to eat right and drink way less and just write riffs.
I like it.
What I'm just trying to do.
But what I was gonna ask is, so you got the band, together to play live because you were getting ready to play that Crowbar show. So
yeah,
you have a full lineup now.
Yeah.
Nice.
I have guys that are down. We just need to correspond. Like, once all this stuff blows over, we're gonna try to plan a show and a proper first show and try to get it off the ground. And it's gonna be extremely part time. I don't want to play too much. And, like, it's, you know, but we're gonna do what we can. Yeah, I have a couple of good friends lined up and. So I'm stoked to, you know, get it or try to get this off the ground with some shows and, you know, do my thing or our thing.
Well, I'm stoked for your side projects. I'm stoked for the new Zabalba record. You guys are teasing it with an artwork by Dan Seagrave, but I got some questions here for you, a little bit more, just kind of basic questions, but I threw in some fun ones, that are kind of more geared toward, I know, some of your tastes. So, what's, tell me a little bit about, what was growing up in Pomona like, for you, and what was like the music scene in Pomona? Cause I know you kind of first got into like punk and hardcore music.
Yeah.
Was there a big punk and hardcore scene in Pomona?
You know, surprisingly Pomona is your typical kind of working class kind of like, quote unquote gang infested area.
Yeah.
But it's, surprisingly with that type of culture and that type of like, you know, activity that was going around in the neighborhoods around here, like there was actually a lot of like a good number of punkers and like, eventually hardcore kids, mostly like punkers and like metalheads because of the Glass House. So there was a venue called the Glass House.
Oh yeah. I saw the gates there with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember? Yeah. That was great.
Hell yeah.
And, so that, because of that venue, it brought a lot, like, just a lot of cool things. And punk was, they would constantly do punk shows. For a while that like, it became like the punk, like hangout, like even when there wasn't like punk shows going on there, kids would just go there just to kick it and just get into trouble, get all.
Yeah.
That part of Pomona was, kind of like I always called it growing up the neutral spot. Cause you didn't really have to worry about like gangs or you know, dudes hitting you up, you know, asking you what neighborhood you're from, you know. It was a spot that like they never really went to because it was a kind of around that time was kind of like a dead downtown area. Like they had the Glass House and they had like this little shop called Monkeys to Go, and then they had the Fox Theater, but it was like a rundown theater that did just some raves here and there. But there was a lot of punk stuff going on. And then like when we started playing like more like when I started playing like hardcore shows in like my first band, we would that's when like I noticed like hardcore kind of started getting like infused into Pomona a little bit more, because they started doing a lot more hardcore shows at the Glass House too with punk shows, and they kind of just got rid of punk shows altogether because they became too violent, too crazy, and then the hardcore shows didn't last too much longer because same thing, just got too violent, too crazy, and but I mean every blue moon they'll do like a hardcore more like a metalcore thing,
sure,
but they still do metal shows and stuff like that, and it was definitely a cool place to grow up. A lot of stuff going on, like, you know,
amazing Mexican food. Amazing.
And, because the city's, I think, 79%. It's the fourth largest city in Los Angeles County. So, wow. and it's 79, 80%, Latino, Hispanic, and Mexican, you know. And so, yeah, there's good Mexican spots here. But I my favorite, I know you're going to ask.
Top three.
Top three. I would say Tijuana's Tacos. Best just taco spot. I think it has like that TJ style, of tacos with the like guacamole chili. And then I would say Mexico Lindo, Yeah, Mexico Lindo, because my family, that's like the spot that we went to like after church every week growing up. And then even today, like when we're all together and we don't feel like cooking, it's just like, I'm going to go to Mexico Lindo, or let's all just go to Mexico Lindo and dine in, or we'll go pick some, or, you know, whatever. So it's definitely like a comfort spot for us, for my family. So Mexico Lindo. And then I would say, I don't know. It's kind of hard to pick because I have a menudo spot that I go to when I'm hungover.
Oh, okay.
To get menudo, and like people don't know, menudo is like one of the best. It's like a top tier hangover feel good cure. Like it makes you feel good, and it almost I don't know if it's in my head, but it almost cures your hangover almost like within minutes of eating that.
And is then that the cure for the coronavirus?
Menudo? You know, it might be because I don't know the proper numbers, but Mexico has like very, very minimal cases and they wouldn't even let Americans into the country. I'm going to have to go with this new spot because since I have kind of cut down my meat intake. There's this place called Borreguitas in Pomona that's a vegan. It's all vegan Mexican food and
nice. Well,
yeah, so I'd say my Borreguitas, but Jaritos, though, shout out for the menudo.
Well, Brian, where do you go after church these days?
To my room to play music.
Growing up in Pomona, what was the what was the first CD you ever purchased on your own?
First CD I ever purchased
with your own money, not given to you by a cooler older brother or like your mom or your grandparents, like the first one you actually purchased on your own.
Okay. Well, I got two answers. So the very first CD that I purchased, it wasn't with my money, but it was with the gift card that my dad gave me because he got a gift card for his birthday, but he's at a certain age, he kind of didn't really care to buy CDs. So he's like, oh, you can have it. I bought Bush 16 Stone in the fifth grade. Yeah. And then, but when I finally, I got some birthday money and I bought, and it was like 96 or 96, I think it was. And I bought, actually it was a little bit after I got that 16, cause it was in fifth grade. So it was my birthday when I was in fifth grade and I bought a Korn self-titled
album. Okay. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Blind.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
And then, and then my mom got me like in between those two CDs, my mom got me Green Day Dookie and Offspring Smash because I had like mowed the lawn like X amount of weeks straight and, you know.
That's right.
So that was my reward. Mexicans.
What were your first hardcore and metal bands that you liked and how'd you get turned on to those, like MTV or what?
Strife.
Nice.
Basically, my sister was telling me and my cousin about, it was in the sixth grade. She was telling us about, cause like we started like liking like more like aggressive music and stuff like that. And we were listening to all kinds of crazy shit, Guardian, Pantera, Slayer, Metallica, all that shit. And, but Bad Religion and Pennywise were like, and Rancid were our favorites too. So like, she was like, oh, if you guys like punk, like you guys will probably like this band called Guttermouth. And we're like, oh, that sounds like a crazy name. Like, hell yeah, that sounds sick.
Yeah.
So, she, told my Nina about it. So for my birthday that year, it was in 97 and, it was my birthday. So my Nina bought us all tickets to go see Guttermouth. And it was Descendants last tour.
Oh man, that's awesome.
So it was Descendants headlined, Guttermouth played under them, Less Than Jake played before them, and then Strife opened the show. There was a random local band that played before Strife, but we got in like right as they finished.
Yeah.
I literally had no memory of who it was, what they sounded like. But we got in and I went and we bought a Guttermouth shirts and we went to go stand up front for Strife because we didn't know anything like any better, so we just went and this band Strife starts playing, jumping all over the place, all kinds of crazy energy going on. And then I remember it's crazy because I started tripping out because around that time, like a bunch of like news outlets were doing these in like weird stories on like straight edge and like hardcore punk and stuff like that.
Militant so straight edge.
Yeah. So like I saw this, these kids with X's on their hands because they were there for Strife. And I was like, oh, those are those crazy moves that are on the news. And so I was like tripping out. And then of course, like there was nothing to worry about when I started hearing him speak. And I'm like, holy shit, these guys are assholes. Like,
right.
He's talking about some positive shit there. And like, so like that was like my first introduction into hardcore. And then like shortly after that, like my cousin, I think like the next year, that year we found like Snapcase and like stuff like that. And then we started getting like the Victory stuff. And then we stumbled on like what's the word I'm looking for? A documentary VHS called Release.
Oh, I remember that one.
Actually, I think done like, and I think it was done partly by Victory Records. And then, so that's how we discovered like Earth Crisis and all these other crazy shit that was going on. So like that was like another introduction into hardcore. And then just from listening to punk and like we would, you know, go to like you, we would like listen to Youth of Today because they were still fast and kind of in the punk realm. And then they went to like Sick of It All and Blood for Blood and Bane. And then just kind of snowballed from there. Like I started getting into stuff that was more heavy while simultaneously going back to stuff that I listened to when I was a kid and rediscovering like what it actually was, like Pantera, Slayer, and you know, like more metal stuff. And then so like I'm just looking for the next like, you know, crazier, extreme, heavier, and you know, yeah, that's kind of how it, that was my first introduction into like hardcore and stuff like that. And then of course Headbangers Ball, like when I was growing up too, because Sepultura and like I said, Pantera, all that shit. Like I just Headbangers Ball was a big thing for me and my cousin back in the day. My cousin Paul. Shout out to my cousin Paul.
Well, one thing about you is that you are constantly seeking out new bands and constantly seeking out new doom, death metal. You're always posting on your Instagram stories about what you've been listening to. What have been some bands you've been digging, like maybe in the last week or so or last couple weeks?
Newer bands? I wouldn't say that they're a newer band, but they just put out a new record that's fucking sick that I've been hooked on, is that this black metal band called Blaze of Perdition.
Oh, I've heard of them. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Cult of Fire too. They just put out a new record that I've been like hooked on, and like I waiting for my pre-order to get here. It was like one of those, I was like, I need to have the, so
yeah,
I hooked the record. But yeah, Cult of Fire, some newer bands,
or just new records.
I don't even know.
It doesn't need to be a newer band. Maybe just a newer release.
Just newer. Man, I don't know, man. Like I'm constantly like listening to a lot of stuff. I have my Spotify opened up just to give me. Oh yeah, there's this band. They're actually from out here, I think. They're called Yawali. It's like a Nahuatl like word. I'm not really sure what it means, but it's like has that like kind of like a Mexica Aztec vibe, but it's like black
metal. Oh wow. Say that again. Like, what's their name?
Yawali.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yawali. I think that's how you say it. I'm probably mispronouncing it, but they're from Los Angeles, and it's like kind of like in the realm of like Blue Hummingbird on the left, all along kind of stuff, and same energy, same vibe, you know, just like kind of like really ritualistic, like Mexica black metal, Aztec black metal kind of stuff. And, that, and then like that, that band got me, to kind of go down a rabbit hole with stuff that was put out by them. And there was another band, called, Viento. That's, I think they're from Los Angeles too. Same thing, kind of like a, more of like a melodic kind of black metal, like atmospheric black metal.
Okay.
And, yeah, that, and yeah, so some other shit. Just all kinds of stuff, man. Like, yeah, dude, I listen to so much stuff that I have to kind of like go through my fucking library and see, oh, okay, this, you
know. I got to admit that sometimes I take screenshots of your story just so I can find out about some stuff that I don't know about. Add it to the Metal Shop playlist, man.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. Yeah,
you should have your own radio show. Well, let's talk about Realm of Madness. So you and some friends, actually, you guys have your own metal podcast called Realm of Madness, and it's been going on for quite a while now. Not on Spotify. What's kept you motivated to do Realm of Madness, man? It seems like a fun vibe going with you guys.
Yeah, I mean, the main motivation behind it is it's basically just an excuse to get together like with our friends and just kind of hang out and shoot the shit and like drink a little bit and then just record what we talk about. And,
yeah,
because a lot of the times we won't really have anything like planned out. We'll have like a couple like bullet points of what we talk about, but it's just mainly just shooting the shit. And then lately we've been trying to, since we did the Spotify thing, or on Spotify, we've been trying to keep it to where we get like guests on the show just to kind of make it a little bit more interesting and less redundant. And, you know, like, oh, you hear these shooting the shit again for the millionth time, quoting Goodfellas and Sopranos. Like, you know, it's like, okay, we heard that a million motherfucking times, and we always use the same fucking references. So it's like, yeah, okay, we thought we'd like try to like make it a little bit more interesting by trying to have like a guest on every week and, you know, doing like little mini interviews and just shooting the shit with them and stuff. So,
well, that's one thing.
Yeah, but basically, that's kind of what keeps us going, is just to hang out.
Realm of Madness. So check it out. That is one thing, though, about you is hanging out with you and also Little Brian from formerly of Zabalba in Supernatural Psycho. Is that a band? Supernatural Psycho?
Yeah, Supernatural Psycho and then Born Sinner.
Yeah, those bands.
And Born Sinner, too.
In New York City. Hope he's doing well over there in New York City. But you guys, both, you guys have like constant banter of like you guys are perfect quote, like you guys quote movies like no one I've ever met before, and you were talking about quoting Goodfellas and Godfather and stuff. What are your top three movies to quote?
Top three movies, I would say, of course, Goodfellas. Since I already said Goodfellas, I would say a Casino, Wedding Crashers for sure. Definitely all the Friday movies.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then honestly, there's literally countless f-ing movies that we reference and quote, and even if they're not direct quotes, there's a lot of references and a lot of like paraphrasing like that, just to kind of make our own. And yeah, there's a lot of that going on, man. I mean, it was kind of hard to like even like. It's kind of hard to even think of what, because it's just, yeah, there's just so many Sopranos, like everything, like.
One of my favorites one of my favorites is Dirty Work. That's a very quotable movie.
Oh yeah. Oh, Dirty Work. Hell yeah. That's a good one. Me and Brian and Jason for sure love to quote that one. Yeah. It's great. He's like, I punch you in the stomach, huh? Every now and then we'll use that, and like, you know, for whatever reason, like randomly we'll just start saying Mr. Kirkpatrick, and yeah, it's just all kinds of stupid and like just references.
Well, here's your $2.
We're just giant. Yeah. the one that we say like all the time is like, come on, smells like fish. He's like, oh yeah. He's like, let's show this guy what we do to feds. And yeah, we quote that like, yeah, all the fucking time.
Is he ripping my arm off and beating me with it? Oh my god!
Yeah, that's a great movie.
So you are a big Sopranos head, and I just finished watching it. Shout out anyone that's in isolation right now. If you've never watched Sopranos, it's not a news flash or anything. You're probably the only person. I thought like I was the last person to watch it, but I finally finished it, and the whole time I was texting you like, oh my god, I can't believe they killed so and so and all this stuff. Yeah. You're a huge Sopranos head.
Tony Soprano tattoo.
Oh my god. And your dog is named Soprano.
And my dog's name is Soprano.
some of your favorite supporting characters, and what are a few of your favorite episodes?
Favorite supporting characters? I gotta go with Syl. Silvio Dante.
Yeah. I know you're a big Janet guy.
He's one of the like he's kind of like what like yeah he's no hell no he's just very like very level headed. He's very cool, calm, and collect.
Yep.
Never gets over you know over emotional with things. He's always
he wouldn't be sweating coronavirus.
Calculated with him. Yeah. There's a reason why he's Tony's consigliere, because he's like I said, he's cool, calm, and collected. He's very insightful. He's smart, but he's also down to do something.
Like, oh yeah,
he killed Adriana. He killed that one guy that was like in his ear in season six. Yeah, spoilers. My bad, bro. but yeah, he
20 years ago.
Still for sure. straight up, but yeah, still for sure. I mean, of course, Paulie Walnuts, just because he's just a tough guy.
Yeah.
Christopher Moltisanti, because he was a little bit more complex.
Yep.
And I of course, Bobby Bacala, because he was just kind of like a sweetheart. Like he was,
he's like the only good human being on that show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like through and through, the only good human.
Yeah, him and Johnny Sack were probably like the most decent on the show. But even though Johnny Sack had his flaws, but yeah, but the same with Bobby. Like he was very like, you know, he got bullied a lot by the other guys. But he also like when Bush came to shove and he had to do like some tough, he would do it. And you know, he'd like it's just kind of, I find myself, identifying the most with Bacala just because I'm a sweet person at heart, but like if I need to muscle something, then I have no problem, you know, doing that.
You remind me more of AJ actually.
During his metalhead years, maybe, but I turned into a.
What was that? What was the character? What was the character when he was wearing the leather? It was a joke. It was a joke.
Oh, Vito, yeah, fucking Vito. Vito's, you know, Vito too, man. I loved Vito's character
because he was awesome. Yeah.
He was very funny, and you know, the whole gay thing was just
it's sad.
Like it's like you never think about, you know, a gay wise guy, and like, I mean, I'm sure that you know is. Real, and they are in the closet because they come out. It's, you know, with Vito, they're gonna get.
Yep.
It's sad. It's very sad, and you're kind of just like, oh, that sucks, man. Do they really gotta kill him? But in that world, is.
I'm gonna put a spoiler alert on this video for anyone.
Yeah.
Major spoilers.
Yeah, my bad. But yeah, I could go on, man. Like, there's just so many.
Well, we won't keep
Ralphie Sofaretto.
Oh my god! And Richie
Aprile. Honorable mentions. Those guys are fucking crazy. Just for sheer entertainment, those guys were like great antagonists.
Absolutely. All right, man. I'm not going to keep you all night, but I do have one last question. So we all know the big four of Thrash, Anthrax, Slayer, Metallica, and Megadeth. Right? Did I get that right? Anthrax, Slayer, Metallica.
Yeah.
What's your big four of death metal?
I was gonna say I'll tell you my big four, but I also got to give you my big three Sopranos episodes.
Oh yeah, that's right. We forgot that big three
Sopranos. Okay, so episodes. Death metal bands. My big four, my personal big four, are Morbid Angel, Obituary, Bolt Thrower, and Disembowelment. And then honorable mentions, Death and Suffocation.
Disembowelment's not one I've heard thrown in the big four. I like it.
I love Disembowelment. I mean, if you like that's basically what I'm ripping off when I write some pop music stuff is
nice.
Disembowelment and Mortician is basically what I'm going for that.
Mortician. Nice. I like how Mortician has become like more popular just
on
memes.
I love it. I love it. I'm all about the Mortician resurgence, man. Cause like I remember I got into them like in probably around 2004. Is when I kind of started listening to more death metal, and they were just like perfect for me to get into because it was short, fast, like heavy and some of the heaviest songs. And so like that was one of the first like death metal bands I started getting into around that time. And yeah, dude, I was still one of my favorites.
If you want to talk about ugly tone, that is a band with ugly tone.
Oh yes. That is a
Oh, man.
That's a disgusting tone for sure.
All right. We're getting to the end of it. New Zabulba record coming out here in the end of May. Años and Infierno. But we do have to ask, what are your three Sopranos episodes to start?
I don't want to I definitely have it thought out. So I don't want to just say the Pine Barrens because everybody knows that the Pine Barrens is one of the greatest.
It's so good.
And for people that haven't seen it, it's season 3, episode 11, and it was directed by Steve Buscemi.
But, nice.
My favorite, without mentioning that, is season 6, episode 20. It's part of 2. It's called Blue Comet. And it's the second to last episode, but it's basically where New York and New Jersey, everything just fucking comes to a boiling point.
Yep.
And it's just like, I just remember like that, the episode like just fucking pops off and you can feel like the tension and the anxiety that, you know, is going on and everyone's just kind of watching their back, preparing themselves.
Yep,
and then, you know, that show episode ends with Tony going to bed with big ass fucking like assault rifle and shit. So yeah, the Blue Comet. And then another one is the White Caps. That's from season 4. That one is the one where basically like the Russian hula calls Carmella and you know is.
Yeah, that's when things started to go real bad.
Yes. And the reason like that one is my favorite is because like that the acting that Edie Falco and Tony, like their scenes together where they're arguing, is just so like powerful. Yep. And like, you can like feel like the pain in, yep. in Carmella, and like where it's like, is she actually acting or is this fucking real? Like,
yep.
you know, you're kind of, it's a pain that I think a lot of people have felt. And I think that's why that one sticks out. And then of course, Army of One. And if you don't know of Army of One, that's the one where that Jackie Aprile gets fucking murked, because I fucking hated that fucking douchebag. And yeah, and then of course Paulie Goldsieri and Ralphie are beefing in that episode too.
Yep.
And then of course at the end of the episode, Junior Soprano sings Cuore Ingrato, which is
awesome.
An Italian like heartbreak song, and oh, it's beautiful. So that's why that's my top three. But
yeah. Nice, dude. I like it, dude. And that was very well thought out. I appreciate that. So Big Brian Ortiz from Zabalba, your new record's going to be awesome. From yeah. Zumpantly, from Mortuary Punishment. Where can we follow you, and what do you want to plug?
You can follow me at if you could figure out the spelling, Zumpantly Doom on Instagram, Twitter. God of Emptiness with an extra S on all platforms. This Thursday, we drop the first Zabalba single, so keep an eye out for that. Stoked. And I'm really excited for that. And then just keep an eye out for all that shit and have fun. Have fun and stay safe.
Stay safe. Stay inside.
Stay quarantined.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
Yeah. Wash your ass.
Yeah, wash your ass. Brian, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man.
Night. Hell yeah.
Thanks for having me. Have a good night.
You too.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.